Chapter 23. I stood staring up at the broken window in stunned silence for a second.
Harry, Thomas said, quiet urgency in his voice, we need to go.
No, I said, I'm not leaving him.
He's probably dead already.
If he is, I said, it won't protect him from Gravaine. I won't leave him there.
Do we have a chance in a fight?
I shook my head with a grimace.
Help me up.
He did. I limped over to the window and shouted,
Gravaine!
Good evening, Gravaine said, the rich, cultured tones of his voice a marked contrast to the dull, steady pounding at my front door.
My compliments to your contractor. That door is really quite sturdy.
I like my privacy, I called back. Is the mortician alive?
That's a somewhat fluid term, in my experience, Gravaine said. But he's well enough for the time being.
My knees wobbled a little in relief.
Good. If Butters was still all right, I had to keep Gravaine talking.
Barely 5 minutes had passed since the attack began. Even if the bad guys had cut the phone lines to the whole boarding house, the neighbors would have heard the racket and watched the light show from my wards. Someone was sure to call the authorities. If I could keep Gravaine busy long enough, they would arrive, and I was willing to bet money that Gravaine would rabbit rather than take chances this close to his goal.
You've got him. I want him.
As do I, Gravaine said. I presume he found the information in the smuggler's corpse.
Yes, I said.
And I take it you also know.
Yes.
He made a thoughtful sound. He was very near the broken window, though I couldn't see him.
That presents a problem for me, Gravaine said. I have no intention of sharing the word with anyone. I'm afraid it will be necessary for me to silence you.
I'm the least of your worries, I called back. Corpse Taker and Li Xian took the information from me this afternoon.
There was a silence, broken only by the slow, steady pounding on my door.
If that had happened, Gravaine said, you would not be alive to speak of it.
I got lucky and got away, I said. Corpse Taker sounded all hot and bothered about this dark hallow thing you guys have planned.
I heard the angry sound of someone spitting.
If you are telling me the truth, Gravaine said, then it profits me nothing to allow you and the mortician to live.
That's one way to look at it, I said. But you could just as easily say that it costs you nothing to do it either. Last night you wanted to make me a deal. You still willing to talk?
To what purpose? He said.
There was the shrieking sound of steel beginning to bend under stress. One corner of the door, up at the top, bent in, letting in cold evening air.
Hurry, Thomas urged me. We have to do something fast.
Give me Butters, I said to Gravaine. I'll give you the information I found.
You offer me nothing. I have him already, Gravaine said. I can extract the information from him myself.
You could, I said. If he knew it, he doesn't.
Gravaine snarled something in a language I didn't understand. I heard scuffing shoes, then the sound of a slap and a dazed exclamation from Butters.
Is that true? Gravaine asked him. Do you have the information about the word?
Don't know what it is, Butters mumbled. There was a jump drive. Numbers. It was a whole bunch of numbers.
What numbers? Gravaine snarled.
Don't know. Whole bunch. Can't remember them all. Harry has them.
Liar,
Gravaine said. There was the sound of another blow, and Butters cried out.
I don't know, Butters said. There were too many, and I only saw them for a sec.
Another blow fell, this time with the dull, heavy sound of a closed fist hitting flesh. I clenched my teeth, rage filling me.
I don't know! I don't know! I don't know!
Butters said. It sounded like he was crying.
Look at me, Gravaine said. Look!
I closed my eyes and turned my face a little from the window. I could imagine what was happening. Butters, probably on his knees, being held by a pair of zombies. Gravaine standing over him in his trench coat, pinching Butters' chin between his thumb and forefinger. I could imagine him forcing Butters' eyes up to meet his to begin a soul gaze. Gravaine wanted to see the inside of Butters' head in a swift and harsh attempt to assess the truth. and Butters would be exposed to the corruption of a soul steeped in dark magic and a lifetime of murder. I heard a high-pitched little sound that rose rapidly, growing louder and louder until it was a wail of terror and madness. There was no dignity in the sound, no self-control. I would never have recognized it as Butters' voice if I hadn't known he was out there. But it was him. Butters screamed, and he kept screaming without pausing to take a breath until it wound down to a frozen, gurgling sound and died away.
"Will?"
asked another voice, one I did not recognize. It rasped harshly, as if the man speaking had spent a lifetime imbibing cheap scotch and cheaper cigars.
"He doesn't know,"
Gravain reported quietly, disgust in his voice.
"You're sure?"
said the second voice. I moved a bit to one side and stood up on tiptoe to peer out the window. I could see the second speaker. It was Liver Spots.
"Yes," Gravain said. "He doesn't have any strength to him. If he knew, he'd answer."
"If you kill the mortician, you'll have to kill me," I called. "Of course, I'm the only one with the information, other than Corpse Taker. I'm sure that you psychotic necro-wannabes with delusions of godhood are all about sharing with your fellow maniacs."
There was silence from outside.
"So you should go ahead and take me out," I said. "Of course, when I lay down my death curse on you, it's going to make it that much harder for you to beat out Corpse Taker for the Dark Hollow. But what's life without a few challenges to liven things up?"
I paused and then said,
"Don't be an idiot, Gravain. If you don't deal with me, you'll be cutting your own throat."
"Is that what you think?" Gravain said. "Perhaps I will simply walk away."
"No, you won't," I said. "Because when Corpse Taker gets her membership to the Mount Olympus Country Club, the first thing she's going to do is find her nearest rival, you, and rip your pancreas out through your nose."
The door suddenly bent on a diagonal on the top half, folding it in as if it had been wax paper. The door didn't quite go down, but I could see dead fingers reaching up through it, trying to rip and tear the weakened section.
"Harry,"
Thomas said, his voice tight with apprehension. He drew his saber and went to the door. He hacked at dead fingers that appeared in the breach. They spun through the air and landed on the floor, still bending and wriggling like bisected earthworms.
"Make up your mind, Gravain," I called. "If this goes any further, I'm going to do everything in my power to kill you. I can't beat you, we both know that. But you won't get the information out of me against my will. I'm not a pansy. I can push you hard enough to make you kill me."